Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the podcast that's mostly about the projects. Hello and welcome to episode 10. In this week's episode, what's going on with my socks, the Pearl Soho evening shrug, an interview with my friend and fellow knitter Caroline, and if we have time, because Caroline and I can go on a bit, a quick word about the knitting podcasts that I listen to. As you know, the main thing I've been working on recently are these socks for my husband, and as I mentioned last week, I ran out of yarn, which was a particularly silly thing to do. So I had a bit of a hiatus, and I began the shrug that I was talking, I think I mentioned last week. Oh no, I didn't, because this happened after I recorded. I recorded on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I went to my knitting group in Leinster, and as I had planned to, I took the dress, the summer dress that I'm wearing for this evening do, I stuck it in a bag, and I took it with me to my local yarn shop, which is a little Aladdin's cave called Stitches in Leinster. The ladies in there are tremendously helpful, and you always end up having quite an extended natter. I didn't know exactly what I was looking for, but it had to go with this dress. The pattern that I had found, it's a Pearl Soho pattern called the Evening Shrug. It was an Aran weight, which sounds quite heavy for the summer, but I thought if I used a cotton yarn, it wouldn't be so bad. And of course, I've been using cotton yarn quite a lot lately for these various baby knits, and I enjoy using it, as I may have mentioned once or twice. So I was perusing the Aran stock, and you could have knocked me over with a feather. I found exactly the right colour. I put a little video, on Instagram last week, because I was just so thrilled. The colour just couldn't have been a closer match. It was incredible. So I bought 3 skeins of that. It's a Serdar cotton rich Aran. And at our knitting group, I cast on for the sleeve of this shrug. The cuff has lace in it. Now, I felt a little bit more equal to this than I might have done, having made this lace cloth for my friend last week. But of course, the trouble is, you can't do lace and hold a conversation. So I ripped it out the first time, started again, went wrong again. This is sounding very familiar so far, so like last week with lace. So I thought it was fine. I'd found the yarn I wanted. I sort of understood what I had to do. I just realised that I was really going to have to concentrate a bit better. And I suspect, like many of us, it's the same as when your children were small and you took them to playgroup. You go to these things for the conversation as much as you do the knitting. So I was happy that I had chosen my project, and I had the yarn, and that was all fine. So I started again that afternoon on the school run, and once I had got the lace section done, it's probably about 3 inches, I put in a lifeline. So that was fine. I was really enjoying knitting that. There's something about the combination of an Aran weight yarn and a 4.5mm needle. I just like it. It's probably my spiritual home when it comes to knitting. Just right. That's what I was working on. And when my yarn arrived, Purple Linda Crafts sent the yarn very swiftly, which was great. But of course, it meant I had to put down the evening shrug, and I was enjoying knitting it so much. I really sort of had to make myself put it down and carry on with the socks. And I will confess, I've been treating myself to a few rounds of this sleeve every so often. I'm on the upper arm now. I'm not sure quite how many more rounds I might need to do, perhaps 20. The instructions say to fit it into the armpit quite snugly, so I've probably got 20 or so. But I have been very good, and I have got back on with the socks now that I have the yarn. But the thing which is puzzling me, I mean, I used to churn these socks out, you know, with one eye closed and one arm tied behind my back. But lately, I've been dropping some stitches on the sole, and I really don't know why. And of course, I instantly asked myself the question, why didn't you use a lifeline? Because although I know how to pick up dropped stitches and it's fine, I've clearly, somewhere along the line, I must have just missed one of the horizontal bars of yarn, because you can see that one of the stitches has been pulled across two rows, which is really frustrating, but that's life. I'm not going back now. I've turned the heel and everything. I'm not going to go back. It's just one of those things. But I was surprised, actually, because I considered myself to be quite competent with socks. I'm not generally given to dropping stitches, and I wonder if it's just the contrast of knitting on such small needles and with such fine yarn again. I wonder if I've just not adjusted so well, having done so much Aran knitting really over the last year. That's so much of what I've done. I've been knitting jumpers, and then I use the Aran yarn for all these baby items, and I think maybe I'm out of the habit of such fine knitting. But there we go. Before I started these socks, I said that I wasn't sure whether I would go from one pair of socks straight into the next, because I was looking forward to doing socks again so much that I thought I might just not be able to cope when the first pair came to an end. But now that I have this shrug on the go, there's no way I'm not immediately picking that up and getting on with it when these socks are finished. The socks are going well. I've turned the heel. I'm knitting up the cuff. Not the ribbed cuff. I'm knitting up the leg, I should say. And then probably haven't got too much more of that to do. Because of the way my husband likes his socks, I usually end up doing at least 2 inches of ribbed cuff. So I'm not going to do too much leg, or they'll end up being knee-length socks. So I'll try them on him again shortly, and then I'll know how much more I have to do. So I was really pleased to settle on a pattern for the shrug. I've never knitted a Pearl Soho pattern before. I really like it. It's very simple. It's a very relaxed style, and I really like the lace detail on the cuff. The only thing that's bothering me slightly is that the cuff is a bit floppy, and it's not going to cope with me doing very much. But then if all I'm doing is wafting around at a garden party, that shouldn't be too much of an issue. I think I've come to the conclusion that fate led me to this pattern, because this yarn that's exactly the right colour was in the weight that was needed for this pattern, and I'd looked at others that were in a lace weight or a DK. And in fact, one of the reasons I didn't go with any of the patterns requiring a DK is that I have so much DK in my stash, I really didn't feel I could justify buying yet more in another colour. So as an element of yarn guilt coming out there. So my local yarn shop really came through. I was delighted. And as I've mentioned before, I like to buy my yarn in different places. You know, I don't have a vast yarn budget, but I probably spend maybe £75 a year on yarn. I mean, when you think that for one jumper, depending on what you're using, you could spend £30, maybe £75's a little bit conservative. Given that I don't have an enormous budget for buying yarn, I like to be able to put some of that the way of my local yarn shop. I really value having it there. One of the reasons why I buy yarn online as much as I do is because I'm not in town every day. I'm not going to make a special journey into town to go to a shop that, because of the restrictions on the physical stock it can hold, might well not have what I want. But when it does, and when the local yarn shop is the place to be, I'm absolutely delighted. I had thought perhaps I would have to choose a colour that toned in, which isn't going to be easy if you see the shade of this dress. I did put a picture of it on Instagram. Or perhaps I was going to choose a yarn that had a fleck in it or a marl that somehow matched. I just never expected it to be just such an incredible match. Really, because I ended up pulling out everything I did at our knitting group last week, the only constructive thing I ended up doing was showing my mum how to do short rows, but there you go. She's working on another Clanger pattern. I'll talk more about that another day. But she's using a Radio Times pattern, as she mentioned in the interview that I included last week, and that is easily available online, so I will put a link to that in the show notes. I'm now going to play the interview with my friend Caroline, recorded this morning. I said last week that I had ditched the old recorder that I was using because you were getting whistles and bangs on it, and I'd found a new one and it didn't do it. But today it's done it, and I'm really disappointed. I'm so fed up of having to apologise every week for problems with the sound, but I don't get to see Caroline as often as I would like. So if we waited to re-record it, it could be weeks. So I'm just going to play it. I apologise for the bangs and whistles. I don't know very much about recording, as you can tell. I'm afraid this is a bit of a live experiment, but if you can just try to ignore them. She's talking about something she's knitting for her sister. So here are Caroline and I chatting this morning about her current work in progress. I'm here with my good friend Caroline, who is as enthusiastic a knitter as I am. She's just come round for a natter, but she always brings her knitting with her. So do you want to tell us what you're working on just now?
I'm making a fascinating black cardigan.
It's not looking a lot like a cardigan at the moment.
I've just brought a bit of it. I've just brought the, I think it's the right front with me. I'm the knitter for Emily. I knit cardigans for my mother and my sister a lot. And my sister really likes woolens for work because it's chilly, and she wants the fascinating black one. I mean, I normally knit in vibrant colours.
You do? I mean, normally I do, you've got at least three balls of yarn
I like rainbow wool, and really, really exciting zingy colours. My sister likes navy and black.
But she always looks very stylish whenever I bump into her.
Oh, she looks absolutely gorgeous.
She wears them well.
And it's for work.
And
it's for not freezing to death at work.
So are you making this up as you go along, or have you? I know you haven't
I've got a pattern. I've got a book of Louisa Harding cardigan patterns, and there's a couple in there, crew neck and a V-neck, that I regularly knit for her and my mum.
It's nice, isn't it, when you do knit for somebody on a frequent basis and you know what works for them. Like socks for my husband, and I know basically how many stitches around his foot is in four ply and things like that.
I don't remember, but the useful thing about this is that my sister's got a really good figure, little tiny waist, so it's really nice to have garments that follow her shape, and this just happens to have it's just a nice shape.
The beauty of hand knitting, I've talked about this before on the podcast, you can make these changes, you know, if it has a certain stitch count round the waist, but your sister is a little neater on the waist, you can take out a few stitches if you want to give it that fit.
You could, if you could work it out.
Oh, you can work it out. But you've done this, I mean, you've made jumpers for your husband, who, like my husband, is not a particularly small man, and you've had to amend them, haven't you?
I have. It's not always worked, but yes.
Oh, well.
I've tried, and he does wear them.
Yeah, well, that's the acid test, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
So what yarn are you using for this?
There's a couple drops, and I think they're Norwegian, but I could be wrong. Actually, it'll probably say on here. Will it say on here? They're called drops, and they do, they do yarns, and they do lots and lots and lots of free patterns.
They do. I've used free. In fact,
you get a lot of them on Ravelry.
Do you remember the enormous jumper, the big Gansey that I made for my husband at Christmas? There was the red one, but then there was cream one I made.
Did it have
had the cable down the front, and I put it in the tumble dryer, turned it into a nightie. Yes. That was a drops pattern.
This is, and I got it on sale, but it's 65% wool, 35% alpaca.
Oh, lovely. Alpaca's quite the thing at the moment.
It's really nice. Well, and I think I got it for about £1.50 a ball for 50 grams. So that means you can make, because the things I make, they're always present. So it means you can make something that's really lovely quality without it having to cost £50 a time.
This is the thing. I mean, nobody hand knits socks because it's cost effective. Yeah. I will have spent, including postage, I will have spent at least £10 knitting two pairs of socks.
I went to
our local yarn shop Stitches in Leinster a couple of weeks ago, and they're selling single balls of sock yarn for £8.95.
And so you get one pair out of
it. I mean, there's no postage, but so something I've wanted to ask you about, because this is a consideration that we don't have, is knitting with four cats in the house.
Actually, I tend to do it in the evening, and it just so happens that the four cats play around with each other, and also if they do decide to get curious about the wool, I just shove it in a bag, and I think because they've got each other to play with.
Oh, that's the key, is it? It's a bit like having children.
Exactly.
You should have multiples of a similar age.
Indeed, yes.
Not 7-year age gaps like I've...
If you want to knit, you need more than one cat.
Right.
Cats that get on together and chase each other around the house. Yeah, if they saw me waggling the wool around, they wouldn't be able to resist. But thankfully, I keep it...
You're not that foolish.
I'm quite subtle.
Yes.
And yes, I don't happen to have any that... Yeah, they'd rather chase each other around and try and break into the cupboards and get the cat toys out than go after my wool.
So good.
I have to be discreet.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. Quite a stash, don't you? In fact, mm-hmm. I must confess, I have mentioned your stash in passing in the past because I'm sorry, don't worry, nobody knows who you are. Because you've got some beautiful yarns, haven't you?
Although what I find is when someone asks me to make something for them, they always want something different. They never want anything I've got in my stash, so it's only me that uses my stash. Everyone else always says, they'd like something in a completely different yarn and a completely different colour from anything I've ever had. Whatever. Yeah.
This is why I try to buy yarn very much with projects in mind, but my son was very taken with some yarn we saw recently in Aldi, and he said, I want a jumper in that colour. And it was not one of his normal colours. It was a very vibrant shade of sort of pinky orange. Now, I don't have any problem with a boy wearing a jumper that colour, but I just had a feeling that if I'd bought it in sort of May, come November, December, when the jumper was actually coming out for wear, he's at that age where he changes quite fast, and I just thought, I'm going to be stuck with a lot of this yarn, and I'm not going to be too impressed. Exactly. And you spend weeks making something, and then it doesn't get worn.
Yes.
And...
Well, I've had that a lot. I've knitted my daughter, again from a drops pattern, a lovely Norwegian jumper, which I think she might have worn once.
Is that the one where you steeked the sleeves?
Oh, yes.
I'm very in awe of that. I've never done steeking.
Well, I've done that. I've done it on a cut, on that one, and I've also done it on... I knitted it again, a rainbow yarn. But a really thin. It's thin sock yarn.
Gosh.
Kuni, I think it might be called. Kuni. And again, it's from Croatia or somewhere.
Ah.
Got it on eBay.
You're much more adventurous with your yarns than I am, I think.
Well, I love colours.
Yes.
It's a very nice black.
It is. It's a very beautifully worked piece.
Really yummy, but, you know.
Thank you very much for telling us about your current creations, and I know your sister will look lovely in it, and
she will.
Well, I look forward to seeing the finished article. I love talking to Caroline. She's such good company, and it's really lovely sitting with your knitting, chatting away to a friend. Somebody else I'm going to do an interview with in the next few weeks is a lady at my knitting group called Alison. She is the lady who was having trouble with the pattern that has lots of mistakes in it. And to my surprise, I learned last week she's still working on that same pattern. Alison is usually quite swift at completing her projects, and it's just an indication of how much trouble she's had with this one that she's still going on it. I think she's got to that stage where she's really refusing to be beaten now. She's a very capable knitter. So I've asked her if she will give me an interview about all the issues that she's faced with that when she's finished, and she's very kindly agreed. And she does a lot of she's involved in a great many projects, so sort of in the town and so on, so Alison will come over very well. I wanted to have a quick word about podcasts that I listen to. I listen to a vast number of podcasts on all sorts of subjects, including a number to do with business, so that in my business world, which has nothing to do with knitting, sadly, that I feel, you know, reasonably well informed. And it's lovely to listen to purely recreational podcasts. And I've been searching for a while for a knitting podcast that just strikes a chord with me, and it's like listening to a couple of friends chatting. And the two that I'm listening to at the moment are Yarn in the City and Curious Handmade. I know that there are vast numbers of knitting podcasts, and I haven't listened to most of them, so I'm sure there are lots of other excellent podcasts out there. What I like about Yarn in the City is that the two ladies who present it, they really have their finger on the pulse. I love the relationship between the two of them and the banter. I enjoy the mix of technical talk about their projects, but also just the sheer fun that they have, both with their knitting life, the various events and groups that they go to, and also in just recording the podcast. It's just an enjoyable listen. I live nowhere near London these days, but I have in a previous existence spent a huge amount of time in London. And it's really nice just hearing it, you know, coming up in the podcast again. Curious Handmade is very different. I enjoy the range of topics that she covers in Curious Handmade. One I listened to recently was very interesting on the ethics of the project that you undertake. You know, where does your yarn come from, and many other considerations. She was talking about a book that she's just read that covers some of these things, and that was very interesting. And although I enjoy talking and listening about the technical side of projects and why you choose a certain pattern and what's involved in creating it, it is also interesting to consider more widely. And I read a very interesting article a while ago about the innocent sort of event, the promotion they have every year to knit tiny hats to go on the bottle tops. I don't drink innocent things, so I'm not intimately familiar with these bottles, but I have seen them. And the article was saying, why are we encouraging people to waste time and yarn on something that has absolutely no practical use whatsoever? Which might sound a little bit grinchy on the surface of it, but you read the article and you think about what's being said, and it actually rings really true. And it's informed my response to calls for charity knitting ever since. That's very interesting. I might see if I can find a link to that and put that on the show notes. But talking about ethics, I'm wondering if I've done something a little bit unethical. As you know, I made this jumper for my friend who is expecting a baby. I made a number of items, including the jumper that has the sheep, the intarsia sheep across it. This is for age 3 to 6 months. Now, as her baby is, it's due literally any day. Every time a text comes into my phone now, I jump and think, oh, she's had a baby. It hasn't been so far, but it will be. In the next fortnight, it will be. And we had the parish magazine through the door the other day, including information about the village show, and there's a knitting category. The one of their, or just about the only criterion in this category is that the item must be newly made. It can't have been worn or used, which can pose me problems. But I thought, aha, this jumper. It's not going to be needed in August, so I passed on the items to my friend last week while our sons were having their swimming lesson, and I did squirm slightly as I explained that I was just going to hang on to the jumper just for a few weeks more because I'd like to enter it in the village show. So I doubt that came across very well, but it was a very small competitive part of me. I'm not a very competitive person, only with myself, but I must confess that I would love to enter this into the village show and find out what happens. I just wish that before I wove in all the ends, I had seen the video that I was talking about in my little extra, my first extra episode a couple of weeks ago, about this beautiful, neat method of weaving in ends. I'm afraid if you look on the wrong side, it ain't too pretty, but we'll see. I don't know how far the judges are going to go. I'm going to have to say goodbye, otherwise my children are going to be marooned at school. Thank you very much for joining me. As always, I apologise for the sound issues. Although I'm recording this on Tuesday, I have a feeling events are going to conspire against me and it's going to be Wednesday before I get this out, but I doubt anyone's holding their breath. So thank you very much for listening, and I look forward to talking to you again next week. Bye!